heaven, it's going to be that song. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. The day of the great gathering in is about to take place, saith the Lord. The day of the great homegoing is about to take place, saith the Spirit. The day is coming quickly that I will gather my children unto me and take them away, saith the Lord. Therefore, be about your father's business. Look neither to the right nor to the left, but let thine eyes look straight before thee. Raise your eyes, look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And I will send thee into those fields, and I will cause thee to be a sharp threshing instrument. Yea, for my honor, for my glory, and for my kingdom, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without a vision, the people perish is appropriate to use for evangelism. However, it was not written in the context of world evangelism. It's an Old Testament scripture that has nothing to do with the way we would use it. And yet it's useful because it's biblically correct. If we don't raise our eyes and look upon the fields, we're never going to see. In our daily life or in our world vision, we're never going to see the souls that God wants us to be part of reaching out to. We're in a series of the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit in our radio ministry. This is the second in that series, I believe. It's an exciting series if you care about souls and you care about what God's greatest priority is in reaching those souls for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been having some prophecies here in our services that are meant to comfort us. And there's one reoccurring phrase in many of those utterances. And that is that actually it's interpretation of tongues to encourage and edify. And there's a reoccurring phrase. And that is, I will hide thee in my pavilion. Say that with me. I will hide thee in my pavilion. So I just tried to get it straight. I knew it was in Psalm 27 somewhere. But I want to just go read Psalm 27 because that's where that statement is found. And see how it applies to us today. Because if you don't know what his pavilion is and what that represents, then being hid in it doesn't really have the relevance that God wants it to have. And yet God, it's a reoccurring theme. I don't know if you've noticed, but I try to listen to what the Spirit says. Says to the church through the gifts of the Spirit, and you're in a church that believes that these gifts are still operational and valid for today. Amen. So when he speaks to us, I want to take it to heart. I don't want it to just become a part of the routine of the service. I want there to be a selah when that happens. Amen. A stopping, a recognition. And so I said, Lord, let me study a little bit about this. And I just want to read Psalm 27. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of a man who had a big faith in God and had big, big troubles. Isn't that incredible? He had a big faith in God and had matching troubles. It's almost like the devil targets people that he knows has such potential for God. Can you say amen? And he definitely does. He targets them for temptation. David was tempted and almost fell, but was restored through repentance. Amen. He targets them for discouragement. David many times was in the deep valley of discouragement. And he cried out to the Lord to be a shield for him, his glory, and what we all need from time to time, even if we've slain giants in the past. The lifter of my head. Can you say amen? He lifted me, he said, from the miry clay. Amen. He set my feet upon a rock and he put a song in my heart. And this song of victory from a man who had been in that place of discouragement, he called it in one portion of Psalms, he delivered me from the horrible pit. And if you've never been in deep depression, and maybe like Patty has, or like I went through about 10 years of nervous exhaustion, and God, through His grace, kept me on my feet and kept me preaching. But I went through a place that can only be described as a horrible pit. Amen. And you say, oh yeah, I know, I had something like that last week. No, you don't. Whatever it is, it might be the little gopher hole, but it isn't the horrible pit. Can you say amen? You was in a gopher hole and thought it was a horrible pit. You ever get in the horrible pit, you'll appreciate grace, because you can't extract yourself from that. You can't pull yourself out of that. Only God can reach down, take a hold of you. Amen. We'll bring that video from a Kentucky church. If we're showing nations of the world, we might as well show Kentucky, where I'm from. Praise God. Where I was born. Amen. If He has to reach way down, praise God, Jesus will lift you up. Praise the Lord. That's for another service. Maybe tonight. Who knows? Praise God. Amen. But God is good. Psalm 27. Listen. See if you relate. This is a man with a big God, big faith, big problems. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So this is already starting with the subject matter of dealing effectively with fear. Can you say amen? Dealing effectively with fear. You know what the Bible said about the times we're living that would mark part of the end times, probably the beginning going into the tribulation? Men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things. This is not the unfounded phobias. This is genuine, legitimate reasons for fearfulness. Their hearts will fail them for fear and for looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Already, that anxiety is beginning to take hold. The assistant director of the FBI last week, you know what he had to say? He said, there is a 100% chance. And this is a guy in the know, and it's very rare for people in the Secret Service, the FBI, on the top level of defending America to make statements like this, because, well, when you hear it, you'll understand why most of this is they don't want to unduly upset anybody. But this is what his assessment with the information he is privy to. He said, there is a 100%. And he said, based on the all of the communications between nations and the things that are building and the people who have weapons of mass destruction, the people who are willing to sell it for a price, the people who are willing to start a war that would devastate them in order to be part of what they believe is their destiny. There's a man in Iran today that feels it's his destiny to start the war that will destroy Israel and make Islam the worldwide religion of the whole world. And he's willing to put his nation on the line. And that's what's so scary about this man. He feels, and he's going on record, it's my destiny to start a war, if it sacrifices his whole nation, because the wrath of American retaliation for something would be something no nation would want to incur, except a nation that's willing to let that happen, led by some person Satan is using. Amen? So the assistant director of the highest, just under the highest of the FBI, last week, you can Google it, it was on part of the news. He said there's a 100% chance that a weapon, 100%, not 80, not 90, 100% chance that a weapon of mass destruction will be detonated somewhere in America by our enemies. 100%. He said it's not a matter of if it will happen, but when and where, because they have the means to get these materials. He said it. In probability, there's a less probability of a nuclear explosion as there is what is called a dirty bomb. Just a simple explosion that lets loose the radioactivity. You say, Brother Bim, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying to tell you that there's a place in the Lord. But the only place of safety is in the Lord. Because even those that are charged with the defense of America are very clear, if they want to hurt us bad enough to hurt themselves to hurt us, yeah, It's going to be hard to defend against that. It was hard during World War II to defend against a pilot in an airplane that drops all his bombs on you. He's called a kamikaze. Did you know when he left the airport, they didn't want to waste fuel. They didn't give him enough fuel to come back. When he left the airport, he had only enough fuel to get to his target, because he was supposed to, when he emptied all of his ammunitions upon those ships, he was to fly his plane into the ship. And they said it was very hard to defend against somebody in an airplane that's willing to blow himself up to hurt your ship and to hurt your people. Well, these people are willing to die for their cause. And so we're living in a day when things are coming upon the earth, and it's going to get worse as time goes on. Men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. You remember 9/11? Remember how it's like the world stopped for a bit? Everything stopped, and the only thing we were concerned about was, how did they do this? And if they did that, what is coming next? What's the next event? And now we're being told, oh, it's coming. It's been a long time, but it's coming. Amen. Are we supposed to run and hide? No, we're not. But one thing we're supposed to do is to make sure that our faith and our trust is in the Lord. The only antidote for fear in this, listen, economically, this whole globe is teetering. Amen. The world money system is coming, and it's coming soon. Something, it takes one big global crisis like we have already begun to see a little bit of before the best way to handle it so all the nations don't go under is to have a money system where this one's not worth more than that, to stabilize the currencies. Bring it under one currency and you stabilize a global economy. It's almost here. I tell you, the coming of Jesus is so very, very close. Things could change. You could get up in the morning and read a headline that changes everything. The leaders of the world are poised to make changes for self-survival. You have to join the global community now to survive nationally. North Korea is going to find out pretty soon that with all their saber rattling and threatening, if they don't begin to cooperate with the global community, they're going to have a revolution within like they're having in some of the Arab countries. Amen. Listen, everything is changing. The face of the Arab world is changing. Amen. Things are changing. Why are they? Because prophecy is being fulfilled. And certain things must happen for prophecies to be fulfilled. Amen. And it's like if you went in, and I've never been to a live stage performance, but I've seen on television the preparation, because all the stagehands are putting all the set pieces in, and you can hear the orchestra tuning up down in the orchestra pit, and everything is being prepared, and the curtain is still down, but when you see them setting everything into place and you hear the orchestra tuning up, you know this great production is about to begin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you can see every day everything being put into place, because something is of global importance is about to take place. I believe there's a man waiting in the wings, amen, that is the Satan has prepared to step forth, amen, with the world in chaos, with distress of nations, not just our nation, a few nations, but the whole world. Globally, distress of nations with perplexity. In other words, with all of their great thinkers, with all of their economic planners, with all of their intelligentsia, with all of their political wills and military might, they can't figure it out. There's distress and with perplexity, which simply means puzzlement. They're scratching their heads, but there's a man being prepared with the answers. There's a man waiting in the wings with the answers. Some years ago, there was a statement made in the United Nations that said, before this world self-destructs, we need a man that can come on the scene, that the nations of the world will listen to. that will cause warring nations to sit down before they do something that will engage the world in global nuclear conflict. And whether he be angel or devil, we care not. Send us a man. What a statement to be made. What a statement to be made. Send us a man. Believe me, the world is not looking for the return of Jesus Christ, who will bring ultimate peace to this world. Oh, by the way, when he brings peace, he's not going to do it because everybody's going to love him when he shows up. It's because he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they're not going to say, oh, Jesus is here. Happy day. No, they're going to say, Jesus is here. Woe is me. Can you? The Bible said the whole world will mourn because of him. Why? Because the one they rejected as Savior is now here as their judge. Can you say, man, his hair is white as wool. His eyes are a burning fire. His feet are as burnished brass. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen to me today. I want to make sure that my hope, my trust, my everything is in Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. You can't trust Uncle Sam. There is no presidential candidate. Come on. There's nobody out there can solve this. This is bigger than one man. This is bigger than a political movement. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's only one man that can solve this. Hallelujah. King of kings, Lord of lords, Prince of peace. I long for his coming. We're talking about Rebecca, the present day work of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about in Genesis 24, the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, given to the story of Abraham. Got a 40-year-old son. It's time to marry him off. Time to get him a bride. Sends a servant that is nameless. My dad asked me last night, what was the name of that guy that had such an important job to do? He doesn't have a name. It wasn't about him. It was about this bride and about this groom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And it's just a beautiful analogy, a beautiful story that works as an analogy to the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit preparing a bride for Jesus Christ. The only safe place is to be part of that number. Amen. That great number out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Hallelujah. That are coming to know Jesus as their Savior. I'm not trying, amen, to see a revival come here. I'm trying to find out where it is flowing. Amen. And lead this church into that river that's already flowing. Can you say amen? I felt it. I don't know if you've seen me up here, but while that, it wasn't emotionalism. I felt shudders in my soul as a Christian who's being touched by the Holy Spirit so powerfully to sing a song of praise. Hallelujah. I felt reverberations of the Holy Ghost within me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bearing witness. This is the revival. Souls is what this is all about. Hallelujah. It's a last day harvest. It's almost over. Materialistic America needs a mighty Holy Ghost revival. And God has let me see very clearly the great revivals that lasted. None of them were gift driven. Amen. Not one. That doesn't mean we don't need the confirming power of God. But what is being confirmed is not the gifts of the preacher, the anointing of the pastor, amen, the powerful presence of the evangelist, amen. What the gifts are confirming is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It's Christ and him crucified that God is confirming with signs following, amen. And it's this crucified Christ that people are falling in love with. And it is love for him and devotion to him that is driving the true revival. There is no gifted, anointed minister shaking China because of their many gifts. There's a message of a man who died over 2,000 years ago on a tree for our sin that is shaking China. Can you say amen? The gifted ministers come, get put on pedestals, fall into pride, and fall off themselves. And the revival stops when they stop. Amen. But the one that God is driving, hallelujah. Hallelujah. By His Son and His Holy Spirit. Amen. His ongoing. Amen. If you have to suffer, if you have to be persecuted, if you have to give up everything, it don't stop the revival. Oh, hallelujah. Because it's love given and love driven. Can you say, man, people are loving Jesus enough to serve Him no matter what? Praise God. What is the end? What? Shalabaki Sunday. That's why we played Sunday night. If you were here, how many saw the video just of the song and the words to the song? Amen. That marked the 1924 Wales revival when 100,000 people came to Jesus spontaneously. Preacher leading the revival, he got there late. That called him to preach. They were already wanting to be saved. They're already looking for Jesus. Amen. There was no preacher, and the revival hit. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't driven by a man with a particular peculiar ministry, but by a sovereign move of God, because people begin to get hungry and fast and pray. Coal miners were fasting. When you go down in a coal mine, my granddaddy was a coal miner. Her granddaddy was a coal miner. I married a coal miner's daughter. Some of your folks are coal miners. Amen. You load 16 ton. 16 ton. This is hand-driven stuff. Can you say, man? Coal miners in Wales begin to get hungry for God and fast and pray. Working that many hours in manual labor while fasting. Amen. God, show yourself strong. God, save our loved ones. God, save our children. God, save our country. God, show up. God, save people. I'll bring you the video of that, but it's so powerful because they couldn't find a preacher. So a group of people under the inspiration of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, heard that there was a constable in a township that was a Christian man. And about 50 people showed up out in front of the constable's office. And he said, "What do y'all want?" And they said, "Jesus, tell us how to find Jesus." Amen. And he led them in a prayer of repentance. The sheriff, not the preacher with all the press and all the prestige, but here's a constable. They had heard that he was a devout Christian man. And they said, "Let's find somebody that can tell us how to find Jesus." And he led them to Christ. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, Peter didn't have to build himself a reputation as a great healing evangelist, did he? No, he did not. Amen. He walked down and there's already a group of people gathered saying, "What must we do to be saved?" Praise God. This is God and man working in tandem. This is God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Getting a bride for God the Son. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Then they asked, what was the guy's name? Evan Roberts to come and preach for them. But the revival had preceded Evan Roberts. That meant the man didn't bring the revival. And if the man got up and left, the revival didn't go nowhere. The revival is something God was doing. We think a man has to make it happen. Men are involved, women are involved, but it's God added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Can you say amen? Oh! So this lady's in a wagon headed for the meeting. She's got an alcoholic son, hopelessly given over to sin. She sees in a ditch by the road a young man doubled over, praying convulsively to God in repentance. She says, "Stop the cart." She does a second take. It's her alcoholic son that would never talk about God or Jesus and had no conviction or anything else. He's down in a ditch by the road crying out to God. She runs and grabs him, embraces him, And she says, "Oh, son, have you come to Christ?" And he says, "Yes, mama, I have." Hallelujah. Bars emptied. People drinking in bars came under conviction and the bars emptied. Wow! There was no big screen television with no big shot preacher. God the Holy Spirit. Oh, I long to preach where He has preceded me. I'm glad the gospel is going to China because God's already there. Hallelujah. I couldn't bring it if I tried. But I can minister to those that are experiencing it now. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Who can you attribute it to? People like Watchman Nee and others. Amen. In the early days who gave their life, went to prison. Hallelujah. Sowed the seeds of that revival. But God is the one that gives the increase. Make no mistake about it. God gives the increase. One plants, another waters. But God Almighty is the Savior. He gives the increase. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And when real revival comes, we won't be looking for something other than Jesus and the cross to stimulate us. Because when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will not point to the preacher or the evangelist. He will testify of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, "I don't want to know anything among you. What is the new message?" The emergent church has a new message. Something to stimulate people to come to church. And we feel like if we can get them in church by some spiritual osmosis, we can get them to God. "No man comes to me," Jesus said, "except my Father draw them." When we lose something so precious in the church as the drawing power, the wooing power of the Holy Spirit, we have to subsidize and substitute with all kinds of man-made programs. I've seen people leave this church to get into programs, amen, and then begin to fall away themselves and wither on the inside. This is God's stuff. It don't matter how pretty the service. It don't matter how many programs to entice us and entertain us, except the Lord build the house. They that labor, labor in vain. Can you say amen? God doesn't just call to salvation either. That same Holy Spirit calls to repentance. Hallelujah. You see a church that altars are never used and people never repent because they have arrived at some place that they feel we're okay. You can never have or hope to have revival there. Amen. Because none of us have arrived. Amen. None of us. None of us. None of us. Paul said, "Not that I've apprehended. I haven't got it all yet. But that I might apprehend what Christ has apprehended me to apprehend." He said, "I want to get a hold of what God got a hold of me to get a hold of." Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth, literally straining forward. Everybody say straining forward. You got to go against the grain. You got to go against the wind. You got to go against the culture. You got to go against the devil. You got to go against the flesh. But if you decide to make progress and you go against it, amen, reaching, straining forward, reaching for the prize of the high calling. I'm straining for the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. But you got to forget what's behind. And I'm not just talking about your past sins, but your past victories. You know why? Because your past victories are past. Jesus came to a church living off of past victories and said, "You have a name that liveth, but you're dead." Can you say amen? Acknowledge that. Hey, dead people are candidates for resuscitation. Can you say amen? That means revival can come where people will admit they're dead and need someone to give them that breath that brings life to them again. It's the church that's dead and happy. Can you say amen? Lukewarm and thrilled about it. Can you say amen? The Walking Dead television show about zombies. Amen. Bible speak of people living in the lust of the flesh as dead while they live. Then it talks about dead men that have life and living men that are dead and dead men that are alive. Paul was a dead man that was alive. He said, I'm dead, but yet I live. And yet it's no more I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who... Here's what drives that revival. Who loved me and gave himself for me. You'll never see him preaching far from the cross. You'll never see Paul preaching far from the cross. Because he said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and him on the cross. Him crucified. Can you say amen? That's why he said my preaching and my teaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. But in a demonstration of spirit and of power. That your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's different when God shows up. Wow. Can I read Psalm 27 very quickly? In a time of trouble. We're in a time of trouble. Well, where's this economic thing going to end up? Only God knows. But we're Christians. We have a God. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire at his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all mine enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way. Lead me in a smooth path because of mine enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of mine adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed to see the goodness of God. In the land of the living. Everybody's saying the nasty now and now. Remember the song? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One. Won't it be wonderful there? How many know we're not there yet? We're here. And David said in the King James, this is the New King James, Maylene Shivers edition. Amen. Praise God. Amen. This, you know what it said? It said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In spite of the conditions around me, I expect to see the goodness of God. In fact, I expect to see more miracles now than I have ever seen in my entire life as a Christian and ministry, as a minister of the gospel, because the needs are going to be so great, amen, for God to take care of us like David is talking about, amen, it's going to require that the Lord bless some meal barrels. I don't know if you've ever had a blessing where you didn't know how in the world that worked out. And you were you didn't even want to examine it. You just want to rejoice that God did it somehow. Amen. Didn't know how am I going to meet this monthly payment with this extra bill. And still, I don't know how we're going to eat. But you ate, you met the payment, and you were able to give to God. Can you say amen? Things that make you go, Everybody say, Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all looked at a house. That's a big old house. That's a big old house, ain't it? Wow, it's a nice house. And when y'all went to get that, it was like, ain't going to happen. You won't qualify. The real estate people put you down. Can you say, man? God said he wanted you to have it. So how'd y'all pull that off? Amen. Yeah, see, there you are. That's the answer. They didn't pull it off. God pulled it off. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. God, when God wills, God wants, God moves. All right, let me read this real quick. We've got to close. For in the time of trouble, verse 5 said, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall hide me in his pavilion. How many saw The Hiding Place with Corrie Ten Boom? Or have read that book? It's a movie we ought to show here sometime maybe, but she wrote a book that became a movie called The Hiding Place. The reason for the title is obvious, because Corrie's family hid Jewish families from the Nazis. But when they were arrested and sent to a concentration camp, she and her sister went to Robinsbrook. Corrie's story reveals another hiding place, a place of faith found in God's presence, a marvelous and precious discovery of the faithfulness of God in the face of overwhelming fear. And I'm going to talk to you just a minute, closing, about that hiding place. The hymn writers talk about a hiding place. Augustus Toplady, running into shelter of a great storm, found a rock with a cleft in it, squeezing himself into its crevice. In a sudden violent storm, he began to write, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." Another writes, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy mercy fly, while nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, till the storms of life are past." Times of great trouble, the Psalms have become the great consolation scriptures. After terrorist attacks at the World Trade Center, Billy Graham read from Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea." Everybody say, that's a mighty shaking. Proverbs 18:10, we quote it all the time. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved." Let me tell you something. The Bible said in Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." It's not because we just stand out there, amen, on our own. It's because we have God's pavilion to hide in, and our boldness comes from being covered with his pinions. Can you say amen? Under the covert of his wings is where we trust, and that's where our boldness comes. It's not making us independent from God. It's because of our dependence on God that we are bold in the day of trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew Henry commented on that scripture. He said, "The name of the Lord is all whereby he has made himself known as God and as our God. Not only his titles and attributes, but his covenant and all the promises of it. These make up a strong tower, impenetrable, impregnable, and all for God's people." Friend, it's not running from the devil. It's running to God. There's a difference. Hallelujah. This great scripture in Proverbs be right at home in the Psalms. The Psalms have been called an act of hope. What is so wonderful for us as people trying to be God's people, transformed by our faith, is that the faith of the Psalms is a confidence which stands square in the middle of all the loss and pain, darkness and sin, horror and death, suffering and struggle, which is called life in a fallen world. Amen? That's life in a fallen world. In this world you shall have tribulation, thelpsis, pressure, and anguish. They are a bright reminder that our fears may be faced, because we do not face them alone. Yes. Hallelujah. Everybody say, not never alone. Not never alone. Don't know about the grammar, but I know about the biblical truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. The secret of David's courage and strength is because he had found a hiding place, a refuge, a high tower in which to run in fearful times. Praise God. Psalm 17:8 says, "Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 143, line, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee. Hide me. David found courage and strength because he learned to live in the presence of God and thereby be constantly abide under the covert of his wings. He was hidden in God's pavilion. Let me tell you what pavilion means as we close today. It means a temporary, movable tent or habitation. Properly, an enclosed place, also rendered tabernacle, covert, and den, once only as pavilion in Psalm 27:5. Among the Egyptian, pavilions were built in a similar style to houses, though on a smaller scale in various parts of the country and in foreign districts through which the Egyptian armies passed. And all of these pavilions, in all of these places, is so when the king traveled away from his palace, no matter where he was, he had a pavilion. See, God doesn't sit aloof in his heaven. In fact, it's one of the great victory scriptures in the book of Revelation is now the tabernacle of God is with men. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? Oh, by the way, guess where his pavilions are down here. What? Paul said, know ye not that your body as a Christian is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, there's a person inside here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The king says, when I leave my throne in Egypt, no matter where I am in the conquered land, there's a place for me to be. It's a place where I abide. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for a Motel 6 with a light on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Nobody sleeps in that bed but me. Nobody lives in that house but me. I don't have to worry about bed bugs. Come on, you can stay in the Conrad Hilton and they're checking them out for bed bugs. There's a bed bug infestation. I didn't know what the little critters were, but my grandmother used to scare me every night when I was 4 years old. Sleep tight and don't let the... What? Don't let the bed bugs bite. Amen. Listen, when he left Egypt, there was nobody in that pavilion but the king. That was for the king. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. This is for the king. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know how we're hid? When we become the pavilion? Paul said, we are hid in Christ, in God, who abides within. Oh, my God in heaven. What a mighty God that we serve. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our life is hid with Christ in God. James Fawcett Brown said, the Christian secret to the world is communion with God through Christ. They don't understand it. They don't get it. But we're supposed to understand it, appreciate it, and appropriate it. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so much more to this psalm, but let's stop with this. There's a great revival. A mighty revival. And it's already flowing. When the preacher got to Wales, he got there late. It's 10 o'clock at night. In a place where the lights go out at dark or very shortly thereafter to conserve oil in the lamps. Early to bed, early to rise, the way those people operated. Amen? It's 10 o'clock at night. They're all in bed. He decides we will start the meeting tomorrow night as he gets off because he was delayed. As he gets out of his carriage, the man sent to meet him says, "I'm so glad you're here. We've been waiting for you." He suggests, he says, "Well, I'm sorry I'm late. I was delayed beyond anything I could do about it." He said, "I'm sure that everyone is left by now. We can begin the meeting tomorrow night, I presume." He says, "No, sir." He said, "What do you mean?" See, this is a God-sent revival with a real spiritual hunger and a heart for the things of God. No wonder God is sending this message to China, because there are people in this city, amen, that they want to be out of the gnat's eyebrow of 12 because they got things to do on the Lord's day, and it ain't the Lord's work either. They're not going witnessing. They're not going to the hospital. They're not doing something for God. They're going to do something for self, and they don't want God to encroach very much on their time. Can you say amen? They wouldn't come here because I'm too loud and the service is too long and we preach too straight.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen? We're not crooked here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're not crooked. They find it hard. Amen. It's amazing when you preach what Jesus taught and don't conceal what he said. Preach the whole counsel of God. People carrying around these big books called Bibles. And they're nice ones. And they're in great covers. And they got all these references now and all the things we can read to understand it. We just don't want to hear it taught like it is. We want to highlight the parts that we like. Church is kind of like a cafeteria for Clairol Christians. Remember Clairol commercials? Only the hairdresser knows for sure. Can you say amen? Well, only their creator knows for sure if they're Christian or not. Amen? Cafeteria Christianity. Remember Burger King? I call them Burger King churches. Burger King says, listen, you tell us how you want it. This was their marketing scheme. We want to let you have it your way. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Have it your way. Hold the bacon. I did it my way. That's what Christians want. Tell me what I want to hear, that I can do it my way. Can you say you can't do it your way? You got to discover God's way. Hallelujah. If you discover God's way and walk in it, God's going to manifest himself. Amen. Praise God. We're going to see a revival. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, there's people have got in church where they say, hold the meat.
Yeah.
I believe Burger King would do that for you. I believe they would serve you a hamburger in name without it. If you say, hold the meat. Are you a vegan? Are you a vegetarian? No, hold the lettuce and tomato too. In fact, I'm not even hungry today. Hold the bun. I believe if you ordered the whole thing and told them to hold everything, that they'd charge you for it anyway. Because after all, you got it your way. Can you say amen? In churches that let people do that, they charge you for it anyway. They pass the plate anyway.
Amen.
Incredible day to be living. Listen, this thing's about over. Except the Lord keep the city. They that watch, the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence agency, Homeland Defense, they watch in vain. We need a revival in America, not a revival of materialism and worldliness. We need a revival, amen, of the Holy Spirit's power to seek and to save and to bring the church into conviction. We sit in services unmoved. Eyes that never weep. Last night we choked up over dogs being killed so they didn't starve to death and how inhumane it was. And rarely shed a tear because of the cross. Because we've heard it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And it's a given. Jesus died and suffered for me. Big deal. It is not Satan that's holding back revival. And it is not sin. Satan can be resisted and defeated. Where sin exists, the grace of God superabounds. can you save, man? His willingness to save. It is lukewarm Christianity, passionless hearts, the busyness of the saints. We think we need every new gadget because Christ is in the peripheral. The work of God is not central. But boy, you should see my TV, my BlackBerry. Can you say, man? I can't afford to give to God because I got to have the latest technology. I got to watch YouTube. We had people at lunch, temporaries. And this is no aspersion against Mexican Americans. They just happened to be, you know, Mexican Americans working as temporaries. They're watching the news, surfing the web. And I'm saying, wow, that's really neat. Amen. Everybody's into technology. Comes time to give to God. Wait a minute, I just had to buy my BlackBerry. How can I give to God? There's nothing wrong with having a BlackBerry. But if your BlackBerry is more important than God, like it's an essential, like I can't get by without this, but I can get by without God's blessing. And God's work can get by without my contribution. The church is holding back revival. Our priorities are messed up. Our testimonies are phony. And you're in my checkbook is a theological document because it shows where our values are. It shows what we find, money for and what we consider worth investing in. Can you say amen? Come on, let's get honest today. I'm not jumping on anybody. You're a generous people. Amen. I brag on you everywhere that I go. Hallelujah. If I had to beg in this church, I'd find another church real quick because I say God can't do nothing there because He's not honored. He's not reverenced and He's not served with commitment. I don't want to be around people like that. It's not that I don't love people. It's just that I know God can't do anything with people whose hearts are already wandering, already moving away from Him. But boy, I got all these gadgets that I can't do without. But I can do without God's blessing, and God's work can do without my help. I'm going to call you to task today. No, you can't do without God's blessing. And yes, the work of God is worth you're in my commitment. Can you say, man? Lost blessings were because they built their sealed houses and God's house was left undone. I believe the materialism message in America is bringing economic judgment against this nation. It's not brought revival. It's brought materialism. It's Laodicea. If you want to see the perfect pattern of what's being preached in the strongest movements in the media and the strongest movements, the fastest growing churches in America are built on a materialistic message. And they're taught self-indulgence instead of self-denial.
Amen.
I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. Materialism. And I have need of nothing. And what does Jesus Christ say about that? What does Jesus have to say? I'm not talking about your opinion. And I'm not talking about their opinion of themselves. What does Jesus have to say? You're poor. You're miserable. You're blind. And you're naked. You're wearing Armani and you're naked spiritually. Can you say amen? I counseled you. Buy me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. And get right with me. White raiment that you might be clothed. White raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you can see spiritually your own condition. Hallelujah. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Can you say amen? Revelation chapter 3. Am I reading from your book? Or have you changed books? Do you just watch television and listen to tapes? Honey, this is a day of deception. You better get the book out. Can you say, man? I said, you better get the book out. You better get the book out. You better get the book out. Say, preacher, I don't want to hear it. Tell me about it. And what has happened to America? while they're waiting on the wealth of the Gentiles to be given them so they can be like them instead of him.
Come on, brother, preach it.
If it keeps going like it is, there isn't going to be any wealth of the Gentiles. So you're going to have to find another kind of gold to hold precious. Praise God. More precious than diamonds. More costly than gold is the blood of my Savior that cleanses my soul. Can you say, man, until the church can say that and sing that, the church can never know revival. Can you say, man? But I believe God is reaching. I believe the Holy Spirit is working. I believe right now in America, amen, there's a grassroots movement. Oh, I'm not talking about on the shelves of the bestsellers at the Christian bookstore. One man's got a book out there called Your Best Life Now. Preacher stood in the pulpit the other day, said obviously he doesn't expect to go to heaven. I just thought I'd run that by you. Amen. Incredible, isn't it? Say, Brother Bumble, I got that book. Don't matter to me whose book you got. I got a bigger book and a better book that trumps all those books. Let me tell you something about the Christian bookstore as we close. I started just saying this as a saying, but I can see it so clearly. I walk in Christian bookstores and there's this section and that section and that section and that section and that section. And everybody, Dr. Know-It-All has a book on all there is to know. Can you say, man, that he wrote? Amen. Come on. Dr. Know-It-All has a book on all there is to know. Amen. And you got commentaries that are that thick. And you got everything. And I like the preacher one time that said the Bible sheds a lot of light on the commentaries. Amen. Can you say, man? And you know, I like to see this sometimes. I like to go in after dark. I like to go in after dark and see one of those Bibles come off that shelf. Yeah. And get those little stick legs like they have in the you know. And come walking out to the middle of the Christian bookstore. Can you feature this? Here's a Bible. A Bible. Can you imagine on the back shelf of the Christian bookstore? A Bible. Ain't even got nobody's face on it. How can you sell a book with nobody's face on it? Can you say, man? All these books about God got people's faces on them.
Come on, preach it.
Amen. Books about God with people's faces on it. I hope if I ever write a book, it's got... doesn't have my mug on it. Can you say amen? I don't want to draw your attention to me. I'm going to point you to Jesus. Hallelujah. All these books with people's faces on it. And here's a book. It's kind of plain. It's not glossy. It's not flashy. It's simple. It's not even new and improved.
Hallelujah.
It's just that same old book called the unadulterated and inerrant word of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes,
supposed to be a stronger influence than your television.
Amen.
Supposed to be a stronger influence than the commentaries.
Amen.
And the commentators.
Amen.
You know they're not very important. They're commentators. Throw that one away. I picture the Bible that gets these little eggs like the old time cartoons. Gets off the shelf. All right, I don't mean walking like I'm walking. That's 64 years old preaching this long. Amen. And comes tromping out in the middle of that store. Just stands there. And every... What'd he say? Throw that one away too. What'd you say?
I said he starts throwing the books out the door.
Well, no, that's not what I saw. I mean, that's what I'd like to see. Yeah, the Bible just takes all the other books and hurls them out the door. Gives them the bum's rush. It's not that there's not some people to help you understand this. But I saw a book the other day about mountain moving faith. And I thought, isn't that great? Here's somebody that God has responded to. Amen. Here's some hunk of mud. Without him, we can do what? Nothing. Can you say, man, that God did something for or through, and he's going to give his faith the credit? As if you can build your faith to that. So when the victory comes, who gets the glory? You and your big faith. Can you say, man? Ha, listen, amen. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor power, even the power of your faith. Your faith has to be in God. Yeah. But listen, your faith don't move no mountain as if it's a force in and of itself, independent from God. No, it is not. Your faith is absolutely dependent on God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, this mountain shall be removed.
Amen.
Incredible. People are following the Pied Pipers of hell.
Amen. That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
There's some of those people out there headed straight
Amen.
For hell.
Amen.
Because they don't have any regard for Jesus or you.
Come on.
2 Peter chapter 2 said, there shall be, even as there was false prophets, talking about the old covenant, there shall be false teachers among you who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, we were not purchased with corruptible things. We were not ransomed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? When we pray for the sick, you couldn't buy it.
Amen.
If you were a billionaire,
right.
If you were Bill Gates, you couldn't give enough to a ministry to move God to stretch forth his hand to save you or heal you. Because that work was purchased by something more precious than the wealth of the world. Can you say amen? Amen. How many know what purchased your salvation and what purchased your healing? Can you say amen? All of a kasanda da basitia. But with the what kind of blood? The precious blood. I will not deny the Lord that bought me. Can you say amen? And put a price tag on what he paid for at the cross. It's not for sale. If it was for sale, only the rich could buy it. There's no price on the blood. 1 Peter 2:24, who bear our sins in his own body, with whose stripes you were healed. Silver and gold have I none, Peter and John said. How do you explain that? How do you explain that? But such as I have, give I thee. What's being preached today cannot be found from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Not one supporting scripture. This is different. This is heresy.
Amen.
Period. And the Bible said after two or three times you approach a heretic and they don't listen, reject. And I reject heresy. I don't care how many people follow the heretic.
Amen.
It don't make it true.
That's right.
And it don't make it right. And it is not authentic revival because they're not repenting, denying themselves and taking up their cross. They're coming to indulge themselves with a promise that God is not obligated to fulfill. I want to see a real revival. Some of you have put everything in the world before God and you wonder why his blessings. You're actually questioning God. And you put everything before God. The kingdom simply isn't first and you're questioning God as if God has failed. Whatever you do, don't question yourself. Whatever you do, don't question your commitment and your dedication. Don't question where your heart is, your time is, your talent is. Don't question your materialism and self-indulgence. Just question God's faithfulness. Whatever you do, don't hit an altar. Find a church that'll tell you that you can keep going the way you're going, unrepentant. Stay away as much as possible. Find every excuse in the world not to be in God's house and involve yourself with God's word. Lukewarm, cold-hearted, and accusing God on top of everything else. I don't have time to play a church game with people that have no regard for Jesus. They're dying for Him around the world. Couldn't you possibly consider living for Him?
Amen, brother.
And we call it Christianity. And where will you go in the day of trouble? Where shall you find a hiding place, saith the Spirit? And how will you stand? Would you bow your heads this morning? Very clear to me right now that this message isn't for everyone in this room, or there are people rejecting it in your heart as I preach it. I do not expect to see you very often, if at all. And I love you, and I care about your soul, not your silver, your gold, your head count to make me look successful or not successful. I care about the condition of your heart. I care about where your life is headed. I'm a pastor. I'm obligated by God to tell you the truth.
Amen.
I'm concerned about testimonies with lives that simply don't back it up. I'm concerned about love talk without devotion. I'm concerned about seeing a real move of God in these last days. I'm concerned about that world map right there. And reaching it for Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about suffering saints around the world that are willing to sacrifice and die for Jesus. I'm concerned about Christians in America wanting to know what's in it for me when God gets the leftovers of our life and we wonder why we don't have God's best. Concerned about God's work. Concerned about God's house. Do you know if everybody gave this place a priority in their life, we could begin to expand this ministry right now, even further. If God's work had a place in your priorities. A few are carrying the load for everybody. Just a very few are carrying the load. Amen? It's not unique to us. It's everywhere. Everybody sings with the choir songs of devotion, but only a few carry the load. And I know where this will end. I know where compromise will take us. I've been in ministry too long. When love starts waxing cold, God's work holds no place. It's just not important. God's word is not important. It's just not important. It's just not one of those things that is on my priority list. God's people are not important. I have no responsibility to the body of Christ. Zero. I'm only responsible to me. Not responsible to pray for anybody, interact with anybody, relate to anybody. I do what I want, when I want, dare anyone to challenge me. I can buy the latest technology and can't give to God. But I love Him. But I love Him. Say that again. Yeah, right. But I love Him. Oh, I love Him. The Bible said, don't love in deed, don't love in tongue or in word. It's long ceased to work, but love in deed and in truth. Darling, it ain't what you say, it's what you do. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. That's the problem. He knows He's not first anymore. He's not first anymore. He's not first anymore. And he desperately wants to be. And I can't change you. Only God can do it. You know what most people do with this? People in here that are not right, you're going to hunt you a church that you can blend in and sit. Because people leave here and do that. They hunt for that kind of church where I can sit and blend. Never be put on the spot. Never be held accountable. Some people have left here because they were held accountable. They wanted to blend somewhere. But you know something? If you can blend with the church and be unaccountable, you can blend with the world. And they go from blending with the church to blending with the world. You can't tell. Their values match 100%. There are people that need to get saved. You need to come to Christ where your values change. We're living in the day when the last shall be first. The first shall be last. There are people that I thought would be in the vanguard of leading others to Jesus who now need to repent and get right themselves. And there are people that I didn't have any confidence in that are coming to embrace the gospel and following Jesus. It's quite a day to be living. And the love of many is waxing cold. And we need to get that love back for Jesus Christ. If a man love me, what happens to what his word and our relation to it? He'll keep my commandments. And you can get rid of that long face when you hear them. They won't be grievous to you. Come on. I said you can get rid of that long face when you hear what his word teaches. So let's get back to the Bible so we can smile before we leave. Not everybody. Everybody ain't going to smile no matter what. You're going to go right on down your road. God bless your poor old heart. Hey, don't worry about me bothering you. If you won't let God bother you, I have nothing else to say to you. Listen to this. If it don't bother you to live that way, just keep on going that direction. Amen. I'm not your pastor. I'm just a guy up here preaching. But for those of you that are taking it to heart, this message is going somewhere. Hallelujah. God wants to keep you, hide you in his pavilion. Can you say, man, he will hide you in his pavilion. When the backslider will not return, what more can be done? When I call and no one listens, what more can be done? When I offer grace and forgiveness, victory, help, when I offer to hide you from the gathering storm and you will not come, what more can be done, saith the Spirit of God. Now that the Lord has spoken that to whoever that was to those of you that will go back to the Christian bookstore with me. This book walks out in the middle of the floor from the back shelf, Sean. And every book, the commentaries, the latest preachers who are in vogue and teachers, all their books come down from the shelves. They slowly approach the Bible. And they begin, without exception, to bow to the supreme authority of God's Word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Some of them are not just bowing to honor. Some of them are repenting. Because they know there's stuff inside them that doesn't line up with what the apostles taught and what Jesus taught. It's popular, but it's not truthful. According to this, held up to this, it can't stand the test of truth. Can you say, man? And they're bowing. They're bowing. They're bowing. Hallelujah. I want you to know you're in a church that doesn't bow to the popular evangelist on your television. We don't bow to the books in the Christian bookstore. This is our authority. This is our allegiance. Jesus is Lord here. Can you say, man? I said, Jesus is Lord. Here. I said, Jesus is Lord here. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand and give him praise in this room. You can leave if you're ready. Praise the Lord. Did I hand you one? Amen. Just put it on if you will. Let's just give him praise.